because she got to know me as somebody that really hated Islam. This is where I found David Wood, apostate prophet, so-called Christian prince. Now I am learning more about Muhammad. Quite amazing, because I haven't seen a passage like that within the Bible, and that was absolutely mind-blowing to me. As I said, I grew up hating Islam, hating Muslims, all of that. People are partying, people are drinking, they don't care, they're in their 30s, they still don't have kids. And he said, "What? That's what Muslims believe in? That's weird." I said, "No, that's what we believe in."
I might convert to Islam right now.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. My next guest is a Macedonian Orthodox Christian. His family is from the Balkans. He was baptized from birth, grew up in Germany. His only experience with Islam was through seeing Muslims who didn't practice it properly. And there were some really bad examples of it, so that wasn't an option. He ended up traveling the world and was convinced that religion was just a bunch of cultural norms. He returned back to Europe and felt a deep yearning for God. He felt empty, abandoned, alone. So he returned back to Christianity. This is where it gets very interesting. He was invited to read the Quran by some Muslims. So he thought, yes, no problem. I'm going to read the enemy's book and find the devil in it. So let's find out what happens next with our guest, Bobby. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Eddie. I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for accepting the invitation.
Thank you very much.
So did we do that introduction justice? Is that kind of the timeline?
I would say so, man. That was a fantastic summary. Couldn't have done it any better myself in my own video.
So tell me, this video is very, very interesting. So tell us what happens from there. Now people are excited to know. So you're like, okay, I'm going to read the enemy's book and find the devil in it. Did you find the devil in it?
Yeah, as I said in my own video, I really tried hard to find the devil within, but I couldn't find it at all, because how could I in a book that worships God first and foremost? So for that, I would really have to go through mental gymnastics to somehow convince myself that this is a devil's book. Of course, I understand, however, that from a Christian Orthodox perspective, the faith is based on the crucifixion and the rising of Christ, obviously. Therefore, from that standpoint, you will see the devil written all over the book. However, as I said in my video already, innately, I had humongous issues with the Trinity to begin with. And this is when I read the Quran, it just clicked right away.
Now, you also talk about having been influenced by some of the leading Islamophobes that are out there. They kind of pumped you up also. Can you talk about this?
Absolutely, man. Should I go back and tell you about my experience with Muslims, or should I just talk about the Islamophobes?
Both.
Both, okay. So in order for the viewers to really understand, as Eddie said, yes, my parents are from Macedonia. I grew up in Germany. In Macedonia, the last conflict that we had with the Albanians, which are Muslims, that was in 2001. I was roughly 14 years by that time. And this is what I've been taught. Those Muslims want to attack us. They want to take away our country. They hate Christianity. And to be fair, there were incidences where the Albanians shot fire on churches. So there were incidences like that. For me, that confirmed it, of course. And I said, well, the Muslims hate us. So therefore, why would I ever look into Islam to begin with? They were always the enemies. And this is what I've been fed. In Germany, as I said in my video as well, all I've seen is a lot of criminality when it comes down to Muslim youths. Not saying that everybody was criminal, of course, but in my surroundings, where I grew up, many of them were involved in all kinds of criminality, dealing drugs, prostitution even, etc., etc., you name it. So therefore, I got an even worse image of Islam. When I found back to Christian Orthodoxy, because this is what I've been baptized with, I got really into the Christian worldview, and with that, of course, Christian apologetics. And this is where I found David Wood. I looked slightly into people like apostate prophet, this is how he wants to call himself, or a so-called Christian prince. And those people were very, very vocal about Islam. Essentially, they didn't talk much about Christianity to begin with. They talked a lot about Islam and how bad it was. And first, I just sat back and said, wow, I'm confirmed in my faith. That's absolutely right what they're saying. Obviously, that's my experience with Muslims as well. And this confirms why they are the way that they are. This is why they are criminals, I even said. Because their religion is violent, obviously. David Wood showed it. This was really my perspective. Honestly, Eddie, I have to say, and I'm going on a little tangent here, but for my wife, it is the most surprising that I now read the Quran, because she got to know me as somebody that really hated Islam. I didn't just dislike Islam, Eddie. I hated it with a vengeance. Wow. Yes.
Why do you think it is that you have these people who talk more about Islam instead of their own faith?
I mean, obviously, like with oh so many counter movements, it appears that those people don't have too much going for themselves or are not too convinced of their own ideology. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to attack others' ideologies. Mm. That's how I see it. If you stand on firm ground and you're convinced within your own worldview, then all you have to do is shine a light, be an example, and others can follow. Then you wouldn't have to dismantle and debunk other things consistently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I see that.
You kept saying, I heard you kept saying this, powerful, man, powerful, you know, in your video explaining. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, what I meant by that is that just by reading the Quran, there were certain sentences that were simply, as you said, powerful. Because they were, if you look at them at first sight, they seem simplistic, but then I saw such a depth within those words. Mind you, of course, I don't speak Arabic, so I had to read it in English. But nevertheless, it appears at first simple, but then you look into the sentence and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and has such a resonating effect. Because ultimately, one of my favorite quotes is, Allah guides whom he wills, right? Mm. So that's simple. God guides who he wills. Okay. But if you really look into it, first you could assume God guides who he wills to the religion. Sure. But if you further dig deep into it, at least that's what I did, that's how I perceive it, I see that it holds true in every aspect of life. Because God truly guides whomever he wills, how he wills. Right now, you're in America, you're a host of a show, I'm sitting here in France, somebody else is in Africa. He guides whomever he wills in the ways that he wills. So it's just this funneling down effect, which is beautiful about this book.
You also talk about when you opened the Quran and you saw in the English, obviously, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, that's in the Arabic, the original language, which the Quran has been preserved in. But in English, it would say, in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. And you talk about being fascinated with this. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. It's, as I said, for most Muslims, this is probably just common sense, and they are wondering what I'm talking about, because this is how they learned their religion, I assume. But for me, it was quite amazing, because I haven't seen a passage like that within the Bible where the text, the verse, the surah, starts with glorifying God. So in itself, again, pretty commonsensical, you would assume that this is how you should write within a holy book, but I've never seen anything like it. And then I proceeded reading, and I noticed that pretty much every surah starts like that. First, there is worship given to the Creator, and then it proceeds with the story. And that was absolutely mind-blowing to me. As I said before, simple but powerful, yet again. I have nothing like that in the Bible. Not to mock the Bible, yet again. I have to say that the Bible, if anything, is much more of a collection of different books, and there's a lot of wisdom within. But the structure of the Quran, I would say, was probably the most fascinating subject to me. Because the message, I got it after two or three surahs, to be honest. The oneness of God. Mm, yeah, the structure itself, how it builds up, there is something that I still quite haven't fathomed yet. When I say simplistic, don't get me wrong as well, because I think that it is much deeper than I can comprehend right now. And every time we talk, it's just this glimpse in time. So now you're talking to me. Tomorrow, I might have a different perspective on the whole subject. In 2 years' time, I might have a totally different perspective on the subject. I believe that is way deeper than I can even understand right now.
Yeah, that was the one of the things that you also, you said that it was the message was just very clear.
Yeah, absolutely. The message is very clear. And moreover, Eddie, that was so shocking to me because, as I said, I grew up hating Islam, hating Muslims, all of that. And therefore, the last thing that I would have thought about is that Islam is the religion of the oneness of God. So yet again, I understand for Muslims out there, this is crazy because they know that Islam is a monotheistic religion that is about the oneness of God. But for me, I thought it's about everything else but that. I thought it might be about wearing a hijab. It might be about the jihad. Maybe it's about not eating pork. But not about the oneness of God. Because when I went for my travels, it was 2014. I left Germany behind and I went for an epic adventure, if you will, because I couldn't live in Europe any longer. I had many, many troubles in Europe. I never felt at home in Germany. And so I left and I went for an absolute adventure into the Amazon rainforest, where I ultimately met up with the shamans, which are so-called medicine men of the Amazonian jungle in Peru and in Colombia. And I drank their native psychedelic brew, ayahuasca. So this is a brew that you ingest and then you go on a vision quest, if you will. So you will have visions whilst consuming that. Even there, I experienced the oneness of God. So of course, as in any tribal setting, people will add all kinds of other things to it. But even in that vision, I experienced nothing but the oneness of God. Then when I came back to God, when I came back to Christianity, this is what I was looking for. Because I already had all the spiritual experience in the world. I wasn't looking for anything more. I was looking for God, a direct connection to him. And moreover, something that will manifest it within this world. Because I realized, man, if I look around, people seem to be in a very, very strange state nowadays. Mm-hmm. Family values are completely tossed over. People are partying. People are drinking. They don't care. They're in their 30s. They still don't have kids. And I was wondering how to bring all of those experiences into this world. How will I be now? How will I be in front of God, so to speak? And this is where religion clicked into place. But I didn't know, as I said, that the oneness of God was the fundament of Islam. And this is what I was about to find out later on then.
This is really deep. It's a very powerful analysis and story. And you also talk about battling for 2 years with the whole Trinity. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Eddie. As I said, after all of those experiences, I was seeking God, as I said. And it might sound naive, but I didn't know about the Trinity. And this might be interesting for Muslims, because Muslims, I assume, think that predominantly Christians just believe in the Trinity, and this is where we differ. But I would like to make the claim, because growing up with so many Balkan friends, most don't really know about the Trinity. My father, my mother, they're Christian Orthodox. The Trinity has never been mentioned within our household, and not particularly because my father is against it. My father simply doesn't know about the Trinity. Mm. I told him about the Trinity half a year ago after I studied Islam, after I started studying Islam. And he said, what? That's what Muslims believe in? That's weird. I said, no, that's what we believe in.
Wow.
So this is why I want to give this message out. I know that you on your show, you're about building bridges as well. So I just want to let you know that most Christians growing up, they don't really know about the Trinity. Of course, they hear about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, etc., but they are not imagining God as a Trinity, as a triune subject. Mm-hmm. Anyways, as I said, I was seeking God, and then it was the first time that I actually started looking into Orthodoxy. So I was the first one within my family to really look into Orthodoxy and to really start studying the religion, because nobody else did it. We went to church for Easter and for Christmas twice per year. That's pretty much it. Nobody knew about it. So when I found out about it, I was absolutely shocked. And I thought, isn't it the Catholics that believe in the Trinity? I thought the Catholics. Then I found out, no, it's the Protestants as well. So it's just the Jehovah's Witness that don't believe in the Trinity. That was shocking to me. So the more I looked into it, I had to come to peace with it. And I decided to make myself believe the Trinity because I found God within Christian Orthodoxy. So what am I supposed to do now? I have to take the religion as a whole. I cannot just cherry pick certain pieces out of it and make it fit my own agenda, because like that, I'm falling back into my own desires. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I take it as a whole. Let me understand the Trinity. For 2 years straight, I was looking at it from every single angle. Mind you, not finding the word Trinity within the Bible either. So listening to church fathers, listening to priests, listening to podcasts, trying to wrap my head around it, and ultimately realizing that the Trinity is a concept that has been around within Greek mythology and even within Hindu mythology as well. So it's not something unique to Christianity or Christian Orthodoxy. And once I started reading the Quran, it just faded away. Even though, one thing I have to mention here, I just forgot, that I started watching Jesse Lee Peterson, and I know that he was on your show as well, and he was the only Christian that was against the Trinity. So he's a Unitarian Christian, I would say. He likes to say that he is just a Christian. And it was him, to begin with, that I started listening to and realized, man, that's what I'm thinking too, but you're the only guy that actually words it. And this is how slowly but surely, I just let go of that belief system again, because I realized it's just an added belief system. It's not something that is innately within my nature to believe. It's something that I have been taught, that I tried to manipulate myself into in order to understand. Yeah.
Trying to manipulate yourself into it, do you see that this is what a lot of people end up doing? They don't question like you. You seem very well read on the topic, you know, knowing the history, and you have done your homework. But do you think that many people, they just kind of just slide in on Sundays and close their eyes and their hearts to everything and just go with the flow without really questioning?
I mean, now the Christian's going to hate me again. Like, oh, so often on my channel, I always set up people, but that's fine, I guess. The Christians that I talk to, dear friends, close friends, family members, even many of those believe that it is a mistake with the Trinity, but they still identify as Christians nevertheless. And other people that want to believe it, what I'm questioning is this. Is it something that you can experience within? Because I am of the firm belief that God created us in a certain way that will resonate with his laws and with his created reality. Otherwise, we would be just in confusion. So therefore, if God reveals himself in a certain way, of course, we will never grasp the totality of God, but the revelation of God has to be relatable to us. So why would God reveal himself in a concept that leads to further confusion within the masses? And you see that it does, because you always have those examples. It's actually not 1 + 1 + 1, but it's 1 × 1 × 1, and that equals 1. It's always 1. And I'm just thinking, wow, that's quite the audacity to really believe that you grasped God like that, and now you understand that he's 3 in 1. How did you experience that? I don't know one person that ever experienced the Trinity firsthand. How is that even possible? So I heard of people having a vision of Jesus. Fine. I heard of people claiming they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Fine. But I never heard anybody really witnessing the Trinity or truly understanding the Trinity. In every single aspect of it, it is an intellectual hurdle that people have to go through, wrap their minds around, and then in the end, be convinced of it, either by other men or by themselves, because they themselves brainwashed themselves into it. And I know those are harsh words, but I can't see it any other way. Even if I look at intellectuals, philosophers that defend the Trinity, they have to do such mental gymnastics in order to defend it. And I'm really wondering, what kind of foundation will that give you in the long run? Even in the Bible, you see, Israel, your God is one. Right, that's a quote. Okay, here you go. So what else do you need now? Why now do you have to conceptualize a Trinity within a unity? Oh no, God is a multiplicity and not just a simple oneness. Okay, then he can be four or five as well. He can be six and he can be 1,000. Where do you end? Why is just the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son part of it? Why not all the other prophets then? That's what I'm wondering about. How about the angel Gabriel? How about all of that? Let's just all put it together and make it an octagon. Could be two. Yeah.
How about when it comes to the topic of Jesus in the Quran? You know, many Christians don't know that we, as Muslims, we love Jesus, one of the mightiest messengers. Just like Abraham, Moses, God sent these messengers to call people to the worship of one and only one God, to worship the Creator alone and not His creation. So when you came to the story of Jesus, His miraculous birth, a whole chapter named after His blessed mother, Maryam, what were your thoughts on this and what kind of effect did it have on you?
That, I have to say, wasn't whilst reading the Quran, but prior to that, talking to Muslims, because I didn't know, obviously, like most, that Jesus is part of Islam at all, that Jesus is part of the religion. And yeah, once I found out about that, it was at first very, very surprising to me, because, as I said, I grew up hating Muslims yet again. I have to say that here. And I believe that they hate Jesus and that they hate everything that has to do with Christianity. I thought they simply follow a guy called Muhammad. That's how I said it back in the day.
So you thought before that Muslims hated Jesus?
Absolutely. 100%. Yes. And then when I found out about the verses about Jesus, I thought, yeah, well, but they don't want to accept him as the Son of God, and therefore they still hate him because they want to love him as something else, something that they want him to be, which he's not, because he's obviously the Son of God. That's how I saw that.
Tell me now, you talk about God is not the author of confusion. You also mentioned this. Was there less confusion going into this concept of the what we call the Tawheed, the pure monotheism of Islam, you know, the purpose of life while we're here, you know, the moral code, the blueprint for life? Everything's kind of just laid out. The more you're studying it, it's like it leaves less to guesswork.
Absolutely, man. It's quite amazing because, as I said, first and foremost, I didn't know that Islam is the religion of oneness, the religion of the oneness of God. And moreover, I have to say that once I returned to Christian Orthodoxy, once I returned to God, because as a kid growing up, I believed in God, like most people, I assume. I didn't believe in God. I wasn't too religious. Then I had my excursion with the New Age, with psychedelics, etc., etc. And then when I returned to God, all of a sudden I started seeing those patterns, as I said. I started seeing, those people, they're not really conducting themselves in a godly fashion. And that applies to all people nowadays. I'm not only talking about Muslims or Christians. It seems that we as a society, as a whole, and in this day and age, we can talk about one society almost, because quite clearly this is the push, as you can see, that everything has to become one society, one government. We're all doing the same things. We're all using the same technology. And I saw that we are all under the same spell, it seems, maybe coming from the media, maybe from the institutions. That's a topic for another day. But seeing that we're all in that state, I realized, okay, when we follow God, we actually automatically become more conservative. That's what I noticed. So up until now, I was making my own rules. It's totally fine if I don't hurt anybody. So if I want to party and meet some girls, and want to have a fun nights out, mm-hmm. it's fine. Nobody got hurt. Why not? It's all relative. Doesn't matter. But then I realized, essentially, it is not moral. It is not ethical. There's always some damage that is being done intrinsically. And ultimately, you're not getting around becoming more conservative. And when I became more conservative through that, even though I really want to distance myself from the political ideology, I'm just talking about conservative values, then all of a sudden my eyes opened up to Islam, because I realized, oh, wow, Islam is essentially the most conservative religion there is, because they're conserving family values like no other. They're conserving the male and the female roles like no other. They're conserving eating meat like no other as well, because for people that don't know, I'm an ex-vegan. I dabbled in that as well. And nowadays there's a huge push for fake foods, soy schnitzel, soy drinks, stuff like that. And I saw that Islam reigns supreme in conserving all of those values. And once I realized that, it just clicked. And this is when I was really open then to look even deeper into it. And since I did that, man, the more I learn, the more I love about it, to be totally honest. Because the more I learn about it, I just see structures that make sense and, as I said, conserve family structures, family values, a functioning society, ultimately.
What were your thoughts, before we conclude, just a few more questions? There's a beautiful example. If you can imagine someone going around a beautiful mansion house, and it's just fascinating to the eye. And this is an example Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is giving. And then the people are like, but there's one brick missing in this house. He said that I am that brick, you know. So they see the whole house is finished, but there's just one brick missing. And the house is beautiful. It's fascinating. But then just that one is like standing out. So he said, I'm that brick. I am the final messenger sent to mankind. What was your experience now when you start to learn about from the past and now what you're learning about Prophet Muhammad?
That is yet again, Eddie, I have to repeat myself 10,000 times. I have to say powerful, first and foremost. I love this analogy. Very interesting. Right now, I'm...
Have you heard this hadith?
I haven't. I hear it for the very first time. It's very powerful yet again. I like the analogy. Right now, I am learning more about Muhammad. And ultimately, it makes sense, of course, listening to it. It adds up. For me, reading the Quran, it simply seemed like a clarification. Like a clarification of the confusion that was spread beforehand. But as I said already, one of my favorite quotes is, Allah guides who He wills. So I think that ultimately, if you want to realize it as a clarification, you want to understand it as a clarification, it will clarify many, many things in your mind and will put you at ease. But if you don't, that's up to you. God will let you do that too. And then you will continuously suffer. Even for Christians as such, if they want to stay identified as Christians, and this is what I'm at the moment, admittedly, battling back and forth. Ultimately, the Quran can guide you out of the confusion of Trinitarian beliefs, if nothing else, and put your mind at rest there. So it can bring you back to worshiping one God, if nothing else.
And you obviously by now know, you know, I often give this example, like if you were living during the time of Abraham, this is what the beautiful thing for myself also is that Islam wasn't named after a geographical location. It wasn't named after a human being. It wasn't named after a person, place, or thing. Islam just means to submit your will to one and only one God. That just made so much sense to myself. And then seeing that it was practiced during the time of Abraham, and then that kalima, the shahada, you know, if you're living during the time of Abraham, you would say, La ilaha illallah, there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah, the creator. And Abraham is the messenger. During Moses' time, same thing. During Jesus' time, same thing. La ilaha illallah, Isa Rasulullah. That there's nothing worthy of worship, confirming the oneness of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and Jesus is the messenger. Now, for all of humanity, we say this is the same statement that brings someone into Islam. La ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There's nothing worthy of worship. You see the pattern? It's the consistency. So there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah, except the creator of the heavens and the earth, God Almighty, the one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. So this is the one that obviously brings someone into Islam. So you've kind of, you know about the Shahada and everything and how simple it is. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I never looked at it at from that angle, because I thought, even with the Shahada, when I read it the first time, I thought, okay, so you are just talking about Muhammad then. And I didn't think that essentially you're just confirming the time frame, and with that you're confirming the rest.
You automatically confirm, as soon as you say Muhammad Rasulullah, automatically you include, not exclude, all the preceding messengers, Jesus, Moses, Abraham. You accept all of them. Because if you refuse one, you refuse them all. You can't just pick and choose. It's not a buffet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, right on. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So that's the beautiful thing. And then obviously you know about the and this is the six articles of faith, the five pillars. And once somebody understands this, it's kind of like somebody's looking for, you know, a house that they're going to move into. They look for certain things. And if these things fit, then they go with it. Same thing with Islam. These are the main things, because a person can end up studying Islam for their whole life. You got, like, you understand, there's Muslims who have not read the entire Quran like you have.
Yeah, I believe that, man.
Yeah,
as I said, as a Christian, when you grow up, you don't automatically get born and then read the Bible on the first day.
Yeah.
So most Christians don't read the Bible either.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you. You're very brave, courageous, you know, with all of the hate that's out there, and you stepped above and beyond it. We hope and more people will be courageous enough to open up like you did. So you said, I'm going to read the enemy's book and I'm going to find the devil in it. So I guess that's my last question. Now, did you find the devil in it? But the devil is, you talk about this also, that there is the mention of the devil, warning against the devil, saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, saying, I seek refuge with Allah from the devil. So how was that part?
I want to say that anybody that wants to claim that the Quran is of the devil, and I encountered plenty of them in the comment section, just read it yourself and go from there, man. The book glorifies God pretty much on every page and warns of the devil. That's basically it in a nutshell. Of course, there's much more depth to it, as I said. But the main message, you cannot mistake. So if that somehow sounds like devil worship to you, I don't think anybody can help you then. So then I have to refer again to Allah guides who He wills.
So we'd love nothing more, and we don't ever, I know you're on your journey in that, but we love nothing more to have you come into the house of peace, right? To come into Islam and to embrace us, to all, to embrace you as a community of close to 2 billion all over. And I hope, inshallah, God willing. Do you ever travel to Bosnia?
Never, brother. I would really, really love to visit. I have been to Croatia, Serbia, Bulgaria, Macedonia, Greece, Turkey even, but never to Bosnia. I would really love to visit.
Inshallah, we could reach out next time I go there, see if we can get you down, be our guest.
And I'm cool. I'm headed down this summer again, so in a month or two.
I'm sure a lot of Bosnians will also watch this, and they'll reach out to you, and you might even be there before I get there.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So thank you very much for taking the time to be with us on the show and sharing your experience of a Christian who read the Quran and looked to find the devil in it, but found a lot more things besides that.
Thank you very much, Eddie. Voila.
Follow. Thank you. You speak Macedonians? Do they speak?
Pričam I srpski. Znam I srpski ili bosanski. To je sve isto.
It's the same. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. I speak whatever you want to call it. Serbo-Croatian, Bulgarian, yeah. Macedonian. I speak pretty much all of those languages.
Very nice. May God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you too.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
And that was Bobby, an Orthodox Christian, who said, I'm going to read the Quran to find the devil in it. And look what happened. So what would happen to you now? Why don't you do the same thing? And I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to make you an offer that you can't refuse. I'm going to give you a gift. And that gift is called the Quran, translated into English, because the original is in the Arabic. And I'm going to go ahead and ship it to you. So go ahead and visit us at thedeanshow.com to get your free copy of the Quran to see for yourself what is Bobby talking about as an Orthodox Christian. He read the Quran and you saw what he had to say. Let's see what you have to say. And after you read the Quran, go ahead and send us your reaction to it by video or by email, preferably by video. Let's like to get your reaction after reading it. Send it to us so we can share it out there and let other people also benefit, so we can go ahead and get more people to really come to know the truth for what it is and Islam for what it is. And you can go ahead and get the right information from the source. Go to the Quran itself instead of listening to many of the people out there, like our guest was. He was listening to the top Islamophobes in the country, and he went to the Quran himself, and you see what he had to say. So I want to thank you, Bobby, for being with us here on The Dean Show and sharing your experiences. And I want to thank you all, and we'll see you next time. Subscribe so you don't miss out on up-and-coming shows. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. All right, thank you guys for watching The Dean Show. Hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. And you can check out one of our shows right here and one of our shows right here and support us on our Patreon. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.